from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
I told you I only wanted filled donuts, not the powdery stuff.
I'll take either kind. Either kind. Yeah, a donut. I prefer the filled one, so.
A donut's a donut, and we donuts, never mind. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing good, and I hope everybody out there is doing good. It is a rainy Saturday up here, down here, or over here in the Willamette Valley in Oregon, Eugene Springfield area. And I am Robin, and over there is Cliff, and we have lots to talk about today. Of course, we always have lots to talk about, and sometimes we even talk about what's on the list.
There's always a lot of things on the list, but this is a busy day. You know, Korea's in the news again, still, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and Obama's in the news. Of course, he's always fun to pick on.
Well, I just save him and as an ace in the hole. Anything that's wrong is his fault.
That's right. Well, that's what we decided to do today, folks, is that no matter what's going on, like local news or nationwide news or whatever, just like in Jerry's ad or whatever, you just go at Jerry's. Well, in this case, we'll just blame Obama.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get all the hours on your paycheck this week, blame Obama.
Yeah.
If you didn't get filled donuts, like I had the runner go and get donuts for the studio, blaming Obama.
Especially if you got the wrong donuts.
Yeah. Well, if we get Voodoo Donuts, a little plug there, which has mostly sugar. We found out one job I worked at, we used to tease that we increased production by 30% by supplying the employees with Voodoo Donuts.
What kind of donuts?
It's called Voodoo Donuts. They are, Michelle Obama would love them because they're totally unhealthy for you. There's so much sugar in it that, well, let's put it this way. If you couldn't run around a block, you will after having a couple of these.
Okay, I'm all for that. Nothing wrong with that. I just never heard of them before. Are they local?
I think they're a local chain. But,
yeah.
Then they're going to probably wonder, why do we have a bill for this plug?
Why? Yeah, really. I mean, why aren't all donuts mostly sugar?
No, sugar, flour, anything else you want to throw on it and cut a hole in the middle.
Well, yeah, really cut a hole in the middle. Mm. I like donut holes.
Yeah, they're very light.
I used to eat donut holes all the time because they're easy to eat. One of them is a mouthful, and I used to buy dozens and dozens of donut holes whenever I went anywhere because they're easy to eat in the car.
Well, see, donut hole is actually an oxymoron when you think about it, because what is the hole of a donut? It's nothing.
Well, no, there's something comes out of the hole. Something the donut didn't come with a hole. You had to punch the hole in it. And so what's left after you punch the hole is the donut. And then when you punch the hole, the part that comes out is the donut hole.
That's donut allergy 101.
Right. Really. And that's important news.
Thank you for tuning in. On a half serious note, that we can actually be half serious, we do have a lot to talk about today, including California going bankrupt and a bunch of other stuff. You're just going to have to stay tuned and find out. And
well, we talked about California cities and other cities, large cities, going bankrupt before, but now it's actually happened. It's actually they filed. Stockton, I think it is, has actually filed a suit. And they have actually declared bankruptcy. And now what's going to happen after this, if now that one has done it, you know, are the others going to go along with it? Because That's pretty important. That's Stockton is the city, and they were $26 million shortfall. The thing that gets to me is who were they kidding? Because their shortfall is mostly because they're paying their employees too much money after they were employees. They want to keep that. They don't want to give away that money. Well, they didn't earn that money, as far as I'm concerned.
And speaking of money, well, the director's pounding on the window over here saying, guys, don't you have a spot to run before you get in this stuff?
Well, that spot can run anytime. Actually, if it was run later, then it would catch people unaware and they'd listen to it more.
That's right.
Or something.
Of course, that they actually stay through the whole program to hear it.
Yeah.
But see, what we want to do is we want to encourage more people to give us paying spots. Which
okay.
They can do, by the way, by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Okay. I thought we were going to run the spot.
Roll the commercial. Down on the glass back.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
DanceDogCookie.com, available at select stores in Lane County and online. And I found out that the reason why the director's pounding on the window wasn't because we weren't running the spot, is because some idiot forgot to unmute the program when we started.
So we sit here and talk to each other, right?
We probably did. But in any case, if you are tuning in, the program 7 minutes late in things. Here, which we'll edit out on the archives if it didn't happen to record anything. Welcome to the program, and we want more donuts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Donuts, more donuts.
More donuts. And speaking of donuts, if somebody wanted a donut, they'd have to get their own, but how would they, if they wanted to share their experience with donuts or the news, how would they do that with us?
Well, if they wanted to talk to us, 646-721-9887 is the telephone number if you wanted to call us. And if you have something you want to talk about, we'd be more than happy to talk about anything you want to. Well, there are a couple of things that we draw a line. But 646-721-9887, and just let us know what you want to talk about, because almost anything, we'll talk about it. And the thing is, we'll argue about it, probably, because our opinion doesn't necessarily have to fit with your opinion. You can have a different opinion than ours. But don't be upset and don't be mad if we yell at you and say we're right and you're wrong.
That's
because we are.
That's right.
So 646-721-9887. That's easy to remember.
Exactly. And if you're listening to us on the archives, and assuming that I did happen to do 7 minutes of dead air, which would be gone on the archives, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. To kind of recap, we do have a lot to talk about. California going bankrupt. Obama's in the news again, and going to talk a little bit about gun ban that one of Obama's...
Guns are in the news, whether they're banned or not, because there's so many things that are happening around guns. I mean, you know, they're talking about guns in school, and people are talking about putting guns in and arming people in school, having everybody, at least one person in the school, being armed. Well, boy, there's no way in hell I'd be that person, because I'd be the first person to be killed.
Well, actually, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been hearing that a lot. As well, that they want to have armed people in schools. You know, schools already are starting to look like a prison. I mean, they're surrounded by, I mean, compared to when you and I went to school, you know, that had no fences, but now you got to wear badges and you go into a locked, well, I mean, around here, you go through a locked gate, you go through metal detectors. It's like, what the hell, you know? It's now you want to add armed police officers or armed personnel to it as well?
I think it's all ridiculous because it hasn't helped, has it?
No.
We've had just as many shootings and just as many killings and such as we did before. And it hasn't helped. It just simply hasn't helped. There's nothing you can do when you've got that many people going in and out of a building that can fix it. It can't be fixed. And so may as well just give up and let the people go in and out and just take your chances because, you know, it's happening all over the country. It's not just happening in certain places. And, you know, they can say if they want to that providing background checks and finding out everything there is to know about everybody, and that isn't going to help a bit as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I mean, when the thing is, the people who shoot people in schools are not all there. They're not quite normal. And there's nothing you can do for not quite, and you can't figure them out because they're not normal. And there's just nothing you can do about it. It's if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can do as much as you can, but the thing you've got to do is train people to watch and that's scary too, because when you get everybody watching everybody and everybody checking out everybody, then you start hauling in people that there's nothing wrong with, but these trained people see things. And
well, you know, back in my day, you know, everybody carried a gun, and you didn't do anything because you knew that we'd shoot back.
Well, the point is, that's fine. Everybody can carry a gun because it doesn't make any difference. But I don't think I'm ready to have 10-year-olds in school carrying guns for the simple fact they're not quite capable. You know, I get pissed off at somebody real quick, and I just shoot them. And if you can go by that, as many times as I get upset at people and verbally say, oh, I'll just shoot them, I do that all the time. And if I literally had a gun in hand, who knows? I wouldn't do it because I have more.
Well, that would be just like if, and I always teased about this, that vehicles should be armed. That would take care of the world's population.
That's true. You know, maybe that's the way to keep the population in hand is having every vehicle and every person carrying a gun.
No, I was just thinking about having weapons installed. Somebody cuts you off. Oh yeah, yeah, that takes care of that problem. Sorry about the paint.
Yeah, really, really. Well, you know, we went through that. It's called the Old West, and it seemed. I don't know. I don't know that there was really that many more people murdered in our country in the old West than there is now.
I think, personally, what I think it is, and this is a good lead into one of our stories, by the way. Personally, what I think it is that they dramatize it too much. There's too many copycats. You know, when, like the Trayvon Martin, or not Trayvon Martin, the shooting we had here in Thurston, Springfield.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name, but of course that made headline news, and it wasn't too long after that other schools were having the same problem. So I just wonder if you dramatize it and then take it to the far extreme where a kid gets expelled for nibbling a shape of a gun out of a Pop-Tart.
that's we're too afraid of our own shadow at this particular point. As far as the shooting in Eugene or Springfield, I guess it was, is concerned. They were going on before then. We just didn't advertise them as much. And it's not as much, I think, basically more to the point is we're reporting them. More is being made out of them. The media, I don't want to, well, to a certain extent, they're more than doing their job. I mean, they're getting in there and reporting everything. And that's what happens when we've got 24-hour news stations that have to come up with 24 hours of news. They've got to report on something. And so they're going to report on these sort of things that wouldn't have been reported on before. So, you know, granted, nowadays it seems to be a big thing when a kid goes to takes a gun to school. And even when the kid takes a gun to school and doesn't do anything, just gets caught with it, we're hearing about it in the news. So it's just a matter, I think, more than anything, of being advertised by putting it on the news. It is news, and I agree with the fact that it is news, but the more you advertise it, the more you promote it, the more people are going to get the idea, and then we're going to have more of it. And that's what's going on.
Well, it's just like, what is it they're trying to do? Limit how many shells can be in a cartridge?
It's like, that's not going to stop anything.
Oh, and besides that, what's it, you know, as somebody pointed out on a different talk show, is like, okay, these idiots don't even know what they're talking about because what is a clip? Gee, a clip, you hit a little button, the clip comes out, you replace it with another. Say it, Cliff. Clip.
Yeah, so let's say you want to kill 30 people, but you only got a 10-round clip. So instead of taking 30 seconds to kill 30 people, it may take 45 seconds.
Yeah, instead of two clips, you carry three clips, Cliff.
So that's, you know, it's ridiculous. The thing is, you can't do anything about it legally. You can't say you can't do it because we've got so many of these things out there. There's no way you can collect all the guns that are there. That's just tough luck.
Well,
our society has that way. We started out with guns, and we still got more guns. I mean, in the good old Wild West, we had guns everywhere, it seemed like. Well, we still got all those guns, believe it or not, and more.
And a lot of people are saying that we put up with a lot of stuff from the government, but you ain't touching our guns, which is why gun sales are up, and there's actually an ammunition shortage.
Oh, yeah, because everybody wants to get it while they still can. They're afraid that good old Uncle Sam is going to do something and eliminate the sale of ammunition. But then what's going to happen is people make their own, folks. You can make your own ammunition. You don't have to wait around and buy it from somebody else. And so if you're intent on killing people, it's not that hard to do.
No, it'd probably be something like they talked about having a bullet tax. And, you know, that's what got Al Capone, is that they couldn't get him on anything else, so the IRS got him. So I'd be like, okay, well, let's see. We can't get Freddie over here for murder, but he did not pay his he killed 45 people, used 15 bullets apiece. He owes the government.
Really?
I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it probably is. But speaking of ridiculous, and what this kind of leads up to, is that there's a Democrat that's running for Jesse Jackson Jr. seat in Congress, and I was kind of alluding to her a few minutes ago, but she is kind of siding with Obama as far as gun bans and stuff, and she was citing that victims of the Aurora Theater shooting couldn't defend themselves in a gun-free zone, but she also mentioned, too, that in the area where she's living, that concealed carry is not exactly that well enforced, or it's pretty loose or whatever. But she said nobody in the theater got up and shoot the gentleman that caused all the damage. And one of the reasons why I bring her up is because I have a 30-second clip here, unless, of course, it's got changed on me, which I think it just did. I'll have to get it back. I hate these. This is through Breitbart, and I hate these things that automatically update to the next story before you get a chance to do anything about it. But her explanation is, well, like, get it up here, Eric.
Well, you know, they talk about concealed carry, and I would rather have everybody carrying it out in the open. Everybody just, you know, strap on a sidearm. At least you'd know what you're up against, and it wouldn't be any problem.
Well, the thing is that, as most crooks know, most people are not armed, so they're easy victims. Anyways, here's the I'm not going to lead up to what she's actually saying. I want your opinion right after this. It's about a minute.
Well, I'm not for concealing carry, but I know that's going to happen because Illinois is the only state that does not have it. And so the Supreme Court says we have to have it, but I'm hoping that we have the weakest conceal and carry, but it is going to happen because we're going to say it doesn't have it. So the Supreme Court already made their decision that we shouldn't go to parks, we shouldn't be able to get on the bus or the train. There are some places that allow it in bars. I mean, seminal sense. And one thing I talk about, when you think about the mass shootings that have occurred, like in, I think, the war in Colorado in the movie, now they have concealed carry, but nobody pulled out their gun to kill the gentleman that did all the damage that he did. And they could have guns, but most people, they don't want that. So I will do everything I can as far as standing up with the president to pass the laws that he wants to get passed, and so do I.
Huh?
I don't know exactly what she said, but basically she's standing up for what the president wants to do, and she's saying that the president wants to. Well, I don't know what the president wants to do. As far as concealed weapons are concerned, it doesn't make any difference whether they're concealed or not. Like in the theater that she was talking about there, nobody stood up and shot this guy and brought him down. Well, that's because you don't expect to go to a theater and get shot. I mean, that's not the thing you go to a theater for. And so, as I say, it doesn't make any difference what kind of laws you have. You can't do this with laws. You have to do it with just logic and real people thinking. And these people that do these things, so far, every one of them has had a background of insanity, let's face it. And so, consequently, you have to watch for that. And I don't know. You can't. Go ahead.
We don't know that if anybody actually had a gun in the theater. And then there's a point that, like my father used to say, my father used to be an investigator for the state of Oregon. He carried a gold badge. And we had many conversations. And he says, one of the smartest things about carrying a gun is knowing when not to pull it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good.
But I mean, since Robin Kelly was so well spoken in this little piece that according to the article, and this is again this is on Breitbart if anybody wants to see it, Kelly has openly campaigned on the promise that she will lead the issue of banning guns.
Well, you can ban guns until hell freezes over. You can ban guns until your head falls off. It isn't going to do any difference because they're already out there. People already have them. And criminals, I don't know of anybody who has gone to town, bought a gun, and then turned around and shot somebody with it. Almost all of them have stolen it from someone else, have borrowed it from someone else, or gotten it. You know, even this kid that did all the shooting and with all these guns, he had a couple of guns of his own, but he used his mother's guns in order to do it. And it's just when you've got a family with that many guns in the family. Now, there are very good, reputable families that shoot guns and do things with guns that live out in the country who use guns to for that. I want to say supply food for the family. I don't think there's anyone in the United States, or not very many people in the United States, who still do that. That need to do that. There are a lot of people who shoot guns and do eat what they shoot, but you can teach people until you're blue in the face, and still, when somebody gets mad or somebody gets sick, mentally sick, they're going to use the gun for the wrong thing. That's just all there is to it.
Well, if it's not a gun, it'd be something else.
Yeah, and that's true. You can use anything else. You can use a knife. You can use a poker from the fireplace just as easily. And the most easy thing, of course, to kill people with is cars.
Yeah. Well, according to the TSA, you know, trying to go on an airplane, people armed with fingernail clippers are very dangerous as well.
Well, that's another thing. I think that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard of in my life. We should just drop that whole TSA thing and let it go. I mean, you know, it's the only thing I would say is try to keep guns off of the airplanes, because guns poke holes in the sides of airplanes and they fall out of the sky. And so that's a more important thing than just shooting people. Because guns are very dangerous on an airplane. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the point is, if somebody wants to shoot somebody on an airplane, it's not that hard to figure where you get the gun on the airplane. For that matter, they're building guns out of plastic now.
What would happen, because we have I know this is kind of getting off topic, because we have the underwear bomber. Hopefully it was clean underwear. But, and of course, people start checking shoes, and or TSA start checking shoes, and, you know, you want to, and getting very close to you. But what if somebody threatens somebody with a shoelace?
Well, that's true.
Making you take, you know, I'm sorry, sir, but you are going to have to wear loafers.
Yeah, well, you know, I could even have loafers and have, I could beat him to death with a shoe, period. Just, you know, heavy heels, whatever.
That's right. Well, there you go. High heels are banned because some of them have very, very pointed heels.
Very sharp, yeah. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. You can't win. You've got to convince people to use some common sense. And that's the only way you can win at any of this, is because you can't make laws to cover absolutely everything. Although, if you actually wish to check on it, we have a law for almost everything. There's laws on the books that stay on the books forever that cover stupid things that, you know, how bad can it be to spit on the sidewalks in Eugene and stuff like that. I mean, there's a rule for everything. There's a law for everything.
Okay,
and
here, all right. To be totally safe, we're banning all clothes. Everybody has to be 100% naked.
We see that has more logic to it than you might think, but of course I don't know why somewhere along the line our society has decided that we have to cover ourselves up, and we do.
And so, yeah, in some areas it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Here's something. This is February 2nd from the Daily Caller headline. Democrats propose $10,000 fine for gun owners who do not have insurance.
What kind of insurance?
Yes, let's see. I'm reading this cold, folks. So, the contingent of the Liberal Democrat in Congress is proposing new federal gun control idea, mandatory liability insurance for gun owners.
Oh.
Called the Firearm Risk Protection Act requires gun buyers to have a qualified liability insurance policy, and it also calls for the federal government to impose a fine as much as $10,000 if a gun owner doesn't have insurance on a firearm purchased after the bill goes into effect.
Well, I'm sorry. There's a major flaw with that, because shooting a human being and losing a human being's life is not going to be paid for by insurance. I don't care how big an insurance policy it is. You can't buy human life. You can't buy the loss that's left in people's minds and hearts and everything else. It's not a replaceable thing. You can't fix it with money. That's just simply all there is to it.
Yeah. Well, the bill would also make it a federal crime to sell a firearm to anybody without insurance. And they say it here, the Maloney, with the way his name looks, Maloney. Let's see, who is it? New York Representative Carolyn Maloney. Oh, okay, that explains a lot. He probably knows Michael Bloomberg very, very personally. It says, for too long, gun victims and society at large have borne the brunt of the cost of gun violence. My bill would change that by shifting some of the costs back onto those who own the weapons.
Okay.
Go ahead. We're throwing it back on the legal, law-abiding people. Go ahead.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. You can't fix something. A dead person. There's no amount of money that can take care of it. No amount of money that can repair it. Once they're gone, they're gone. You've shot a person and they're paralyzed for life or something, that's not repairable with money. It's just simply not. And so you can get insurance and do all kinds of things that you want to. We should spend as much money as we spend on insurance and all these things on education. That's what we should be doing, is spending it on education. We should maybe a thought would be to have a gun class in school. Every school should be required to carry a gun class. That doesn't mean that they need to take guns to school and learn how to shoot them and all that sort of thing, but learn about the responsibility of the of what happens when you carry a gun and what happens to other people. And as far as I'm concerned, we should open up guns and be able to carry them alive, whether they're concealed or unconcealed. It doesn't make any difference. And I don't, even if we had somebody in that theater that was carrying a gun, chances are, with our society and our litigious society as the way it is, they'd be afraid to shoot them because they'd get in trouble.
Well,
there's a guy up there shooting people like mad, and they're afraid to take out a gun and shoot him because they're going to be charged with something.
Right. No, I think you're onto something, because if you get back to, like we were teasing earlier, you know, back in the Old West, kids grew up with guns. They knew how to handle guns, just like also before electricity, kids also knew how to play with fire and do it safely, because if you wanted to see where you're going at night, you had to light a candle. Of course, nowadays, our kids are thought of being too stupid to play with matches, but everybody should. I mean, I don't know that much about guns, even though, you know, I've had law enforcement in my family, but one thing my father did teach me, though, is how to treat a gun and always treat it as it's loaded, whether you know it is or not. And, of course, I was going to say what common sense is, but nowadays with kids with society, it's hard to say. But I know which end not to stand in front of.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to put the point across, is we don't have common sense. That's something we can teach. And so consequently, that's something we should work on. We should teach our children to think. And we don't do that anymore. Not really.
No. I mean, I almost fell over when I, over in the store the other day, is a parent and their kid was coming out of Safeway, and she told the kid, don't forget to look both ways before you cross into the parking lot.
Like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Well, and I've seen too many people. The law states that if I'm out there on the street, the car has to stop for me. Everybody thinks that. Everybody figures the car has to stop for you. Does anybody think about maybe the car can't stop for you? Maybe the car is going and he's so close to you that he couldn't even step on it. You know, even if his responses were that fast, the car doesn't stop immediately. It takes time. And consequently, you just can't step out in front of a vehicle and expect it to make way for you. You have a much better chance of stopping for it than it has for you. And so consequently, this business of stepping off this, you know, I like that idea of if you step off, you should look both ways and make sure that it's safe to walk out there in front of everybody and everything. So, but most, that is, it is almost surprising to hear a parent do that nowadays.
Yeah, you don't hear that anymore. In fact, I've seen a lot of adults just step right off. Because, you know, just like what it used to say in the driver's manual, is that you may have the right of way, but don't fight for it.
Well, yeah, that's true. The thing is, you don't have the right of way. The car has the right of way, whether you like it or not, because the car is 10 times as big as you are. And if the car takes the right of way, you can't do anything about it. And so consequently, you can stand there and hold your hand out until hell freezes over or until the car runs over you. But that simple fact is, you're going to stop the car.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
The car. Or whatever.
Or whatever vehicle. But, you know, two cars together have a chance of hitting each other. If they're going slow enough, they can hit each other and crunch each other up. And the person inside doesn't get too much of a damage out of it. But the point is, if you against a car, a person against a car, you're going to lose.
Yeah. At the very least, you're going to say, you want me to check the oil line down here?
Yeah, really. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's sad, because kids should learn that. That should be the important thing to teach, no matter what. It's the matter of whoever's biggest, and whoever they're going to win. You know, even if it's not a car, even if it's a big person, you know, you're silly if you're going to take on, if you're 3 foot tall and you're going to take on a 6 foot tall person, chances are you're going to lose.
Hey, I remember when I was 5 years old riding a bicycle, back in the days when you can actually feel the air going through your hair and not be all bundled up in whatever type of protection gear.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were going to say you didn't have any hair.
Well, I wasn't born with any. You know, I'm going, you know, I rode on the sidewalks and looking at these cars going, this big sucker will hurt me.
Well, see, I had a real life experience. I was the one who, when I was really, really young, I was all important. And if I rode out onto the street, cars had to stop for me. And I did that one time. I went across the street, and no problem, the cars weren't there. But I went up on the other side of the street and went, you know, one of the ramps to the driveways, and there was a car backing out of the driveway. He didn't see me and ran over me. Simple as that. Now, I was on a tricycle, and you run over the tricycle, and you bent the tricycle to hell. I fell off of the tricycle and was laying on the ground and did not get hit by the car. And so, consequently, I was fine, although he did mess the tricycle up terribly. And it scared the hell out of him. So, but it also scared me.
Right.
And so, and I've never forgotten that. I mean, you know, right up underneath of a car and it backs up over the top of you, you get a little scared there.
Exactly. And you learn from that lesson. It's just like, you know, I've fallen off bikes, got scraped and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, speaking of cars, oh, by the way, also, that's why now they have little backup sensors on their cars. So, but they take away the common sense thing. Just like, I don't want to get, again, we're getting off topic. We had one of the people in my household recently loaned out her car, and it met up with a phone pole. And the cars were designed to, they have their crumple zones and the airbags and everything. And the driver walked away without a scratch, although the car was totaled. But here's the thing. Normally, before all this safety stuff, I mean, you'd have a cut bruise, or you may have got seriously injured, but you'd be really concerned or shook up or whatever. This person was, oh, well, I wrecked your car. Because they weren't injured. So does that make them more cautious next time that they have a telephone pole running out in front of them?
Well, even more to the point, my car, as we've wrecked, I don't know if she had insurance or anything like that, but as anything, that's the kind of thing that runs your insurance sky high, is other people doing things, and they don't care because it's not their car.
Right, but so, my point is that because – in this bubble wrap society, as I call it, you know, you and I, when we were riding our bikes as kids, when we fell off the bikes, we got scraped and whatever, and we were a little bit more cautious next time.
Absolutely.
If you fall off your bike and you bump your head on your bike helmet, or you scrape your, well, you can't scrape your knee because you're wearing knee pads, you're going to fall down and go, oh, I fell down, and get up and go do it again because you didn't get hurt. So you're not as cautious, is what I guess is where my point is.
Well, the simple fact is, again, I think all of this stuff is ridiculous because, you know, we lose the experience of getting hurt. We lose the experience of scraping knees and scraping heads and all that sort of thing. And that's the thing that makes us more cautious and more aware of what's around us and what we're doing. And that we're losing. We're losing a whole generation. We're raising a whole generation of, like you say, bubble-wrapped people.
Exactly. And speaking of taking risks, how about taking a risk right now and giving us a call at 646-721-9887? And otherwise, you're just going to sit here and listen to us talk.
We'd love to have you talk, and we'd be able to talk to you.
We'd like to do a three-way in our way, which is on the radio talking.
Or more.
Okay. That'd be our new slogan. Do a three-way our way.
Okay.
646-721-9887. Gonna switch gears here a little bit. Cover one of our other topics that we have, and one of them is the as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, whether it was the part that got muted out accidentally or not, as we decide to blame Obama for everything. You know, your paycheck comes up short. It's Obama. You know, there's not enough sugar in your coffee. Blame Obama. I'm sure he personally had something to do with it. Because, you know, he's up there in the White House when he does show up in the White House and thinks about your coffee. But if you remember, starting in 2008, when Obama got elected, that it was kind of, a lot of us looked at it as, well, hey, we elected a black president, you know, racism isn't as big a deal as it used to be, and we're moving forward. Well, it turned out to be the opposite, where if you disagreed with the president or anybody of color, you're a racist. Well, the president is apologizing somewhat profusely for a statement that he made recently to the new attorney general. And I'm going to have to get a new mouse here because it keeps chopping all over the place. California Attorney General Kamala Harris. And he said that in front of a fundraiser crowd, why is he out fundraising? Harris is brilliant. She is dedicated. She is tough. And she is exactly what you want in anybody who's administrating the law and making sure that everybody is getting a fair shake. She also happens to, by far, be the best-looking attorney general in the country. Now, I remember when I worked for a large corporation, if we made a comment like that, we'd be called into human resources and possibly fired for sexist remarks.
That's partly what's wrong with our country today. You know, to make a remark like that, that is not, as far as I'm concerned, a sexist remark. Because you could be a good-looking guy as well as a good-looking girl, and so consequently it could go either way. And the point is, the bad part of that remark is their looks shouldn't even have anything to do with it.
Exactly.
Because that doesn't help a person do their job better at all.
Well, it's just like Hillary Clinton made headlines when she showed up on stage not wearing her contacts. Headline news, Hillary Clinton wasn't wearing her glasses and wasn't wearing makeup. Okay, who cares?
I don't remember that.
That was actually a news headline, or they're constantly talking about, well, she's wearing a different colored pantsuit today, even though that she's coming in to represent our country for whatever.
Wait a minute. There was a reason for that. I mean, Hillary Clinton made a tour around the world and did nothing. So they had to come up with something to talk about.
That's right. That's right. They wouldn't mention the fact that, well, you know, Barack Obama showed up in a suit that was, no, black, and oh wait, that's what he wore last time.
And every time, you lose the possibility of any kind of response from that. But at least Hillary Clinton did change her dress and change what she wore. Let's rephrase that, because it may not have always been a dress, but at least she gave people something to talk about. And her hair, it changed a little bit some from time to time. So it gave people something to talk about. And if you want something to talk about, if you got to have something in the news, she didn't do anything legitimate. She didn't do anything serious. And so consequently, they talked about that. And that's okay.
But, you know, getting back to the point, though, is that, and of course, the White House, as they say, is, you know, the president called Ms. Harris and apologize and had his people call and apologize. And there was a, of course, news conferences over there. I shouldn't have said this, but you never hear them saying that they're referring to the guy that like there's a male candidate or a male. He happens to be by far the best looking attorney general in the country.
Well,
are the opposite, like, oh man, yeah, this person's really good, but they're ugly as a dog.
Well, that's kind of derogatory. So you try to say nice things about them.
It depends on the dog.
What can you say about a male attorney general, unless he wears something different, But that's the thing is, human beings are not human beings, but American human beings, men are such drab, dull people anyway. So what can you say about him? You know, he's wearing a different color black. Whoopee.
He's wearing a different tie.
Well, interestingly enough, my sister comments on the people's ties constantly. I don't pay any attention whatsoever to their ties, but every time some guy comes on, she makes a point of pointing out their tie, whether it oftentimes will clash with what they're wearing or something. So guys don't pay real good attention to picking out a tie, I don't think, and sometimes their wife doesn't pick out the tie for them, and so consequently it will look a little weird. But some people do notice that sort of thing.
Well, what I think is interesting as we're talking about that is that, again, this is from the Daily Caller, and on one of their side panels for other news articles, the top 10 hottest cheerleading squads of March Madness. So the whole point is that we're talking about somebody giving them a compliment that, you know, looking good, and that as you're saying that Obama loses the war on women because of his comments, and yet on the same page down the bottom we're talking about skinny people in miniskirts.
Okay, I don't know about. Because there are some cheerleading squads that have guys in them, too.
Well, they are. Well, I don't know if they look at the mini skirts. But anyways, the whole point is that we get carried away over stupid stuff.
Yeah. I've got a real important thing to talk about.
Do you? What's that?
Yes. Kentucky Fried Chicken is offering boneless chicken now for taking home and whatever.
How do you raise a boneless chicken?
Well, very carefully. They get hurt real easy. But anyway, they're offering deep fried boneless chicken pieces on April 14th as a tradition. They're going to make it. I don't know if it's not worldwide. It's in the United States mostly, more than anything. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Now that they're going to offer boneless chicken, because many kids, you know, teenagers and children. They grew up nowadays with chicken nuggets and chicken strips, which are boneless and easy to eat, and on the go, they're easy to eat, and so on. So they're going to take the bones out of all of their chicken and serve every chicken entirely as a boneless chicken. I think that's a great idea, and I'm going to have to call and find out if they're doing that here or not.
So you heard that here first, folks. We went from gun legislation to sexist remarks by the president to boneless chicken. You see, and when we tell you that we cover everything, we're not kidding that we cover.
Well, the important thing is the boneless chicken. 18,000 locations worldwide are offering boneless chicken, and that's important because, let's face it, nowadays eating is done on location. You don't sit down and eat at home, especially chicken, because that's something you can eat wherever you are and whenever you are. And if you have boneless chicken, there's no waste. There's nothing to throw away. You don't have bones left over. What do you do with the bones? I mean, so many times I've had a big bucket of chicken, and I eat my big bucket of chicken, and I've got this bucket and these bones, and what am I going to do with them? If I'm not, perchance, in a park or someplace where I have an easy way to get rid of the bones, and then I don't know what to do with them. And sometimes you'll find them, I guess, just left alongside the road or whatever. But now all of a sudden you've got chicken that you can eat the whole thing, the whole chicken. You don't have anything to throw away, anything to waste. And if they'll stop serving them in these buckets and make them available in stuff that's easy to get rid of and biodegradable, like a nice, serve them in with, what do you call it?
Barbecue sauce.
What?
I hope that Michael Bloomberg is not listening to this program today, because what you're probably going to do is give him a new idea of how to be even more of a nanny state, because now he will determine that chickens with bones are too dangerous for children to eat, and disposal of the bones will cost the city probably so many thousands of dollars, because machines have to either crunch up the bones or they have to sort them out to go into their decomposition, or whatever I can't remember what the word is, composting piles, and all the trouble that you just created by bringing to the fact that, you know, bones in chicken could actually be dangerous.
Well, bones and chicken can be dangerous. They can get stuck in your throat. They can be very dangerous, and that's why we got to get rid of them. That's a real important thing to do. We got McDonald's and Burger King and all those people have got to go along with this now. And I don't know, McDonald's, most of their chicken doesn't have bones anyway because it's offered as chicken nuggets. But that's the thing we got to do is fix things so that they're easier to eat and don't mess up the ecology when you're through with them.
So there you go, the chicken controversy.
Well, I don't know.
We'll have to get Sully Struthers in there going, there's been 5 people a year who have died from chicken bones. We need to ban
them. Well, that's almost as bad as we're doing with shootings. You know, there haven't been enough people lose their lives in shootings for a year to make all this news that we're getting.
That's right. Speaking of news, this is... This came out yesterday, by the way, and again, this is from the Daily Caller. As you know, the Gang of Eight, if you've been following the news on immigration, is working on their little bill. Headline, immigration bill would import 1 million workers per year. And they said that the inflow would be high enough to fill up... I jumped around. The $1 million inflow would provide companies with almost one foreign worker for every 4 Americans who turn 18.
So, again, there's if we would enforce the laws, we wouldn't have the problems.
Yeah.
We just don't ever enforce the laws. This is something that we've talked about many times and many things in many ways and there's it's a sad situation that we can't get together. We've got to change again its attitudes. We've got to change the attitudes of our people in the House and the Senate. Because we can't just have an election and change the entire House and Senate. That's not going to happen. So consequently, we've got to have at least we've got to determine who's making these decisions, whether it's the senators and the or the legislators, or if it's their people in their offices, because there are people in there. In other words, each senator is allowed. I don't remember exactly what it is. It's 100 people or something like that they can hire. And they're the people that run the office. They're the people who do all of the thinking and all of the... And so when the senator needs to have a decision on something, he runs in and says to his staff, you know, I need to know something about this and this and this. You know, find it out. You've got to... They do all the work, these people. And so they come up with all the ideas. And so the ideas that the senator has are directed directed, I guess would be the word, by these people. And so consequently, we're not getting the senator's ideas. We're getting the people of his staff. And so consequently, we have the whole staff of that Senate to worry about. So instead of just being 100 people to worry about, it's like 400 people because there's... No, it's 1,000 people because we've got their entire staff to teach as well. And with the legislators, they don't get as big a staff, but they still got that many people. And we're just not going about this right because these people are making stupid ideas, or coming up with stupid ideas, and trying to make them laws. And that's not the way to do it because we've got to get more common sense and decide what common sense is. That's the important thing.
Well, and that I'm glad you brought up that point because that brings up another issue I wanted to kind of, which is the Obamacare thing. So again, we're blaming Obama for everything. And as I was going to find the audio real quick, but I'm told the John Conover is going, why read the bill? Well, as everybody knows, that Obamacare is starting to take full effect in 2014. And one of the things I wanted to bring up real quick is that there is already an application draft out to sign up for Obamacare, and that draft is 60 pages long. So you got a 60-page questionnaire in order to sign up for Obamacare. Hey, Ryan.
Well, actually, you've got 60 pages to read in order to, that's the instructions to fill out a 20-page form, because it's not just a one-page form either. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, it's ridiculous because in 3 years or 2 years or however long he's got to go, it may all go away anyway. Because
as soon as people start getting their H&R Block is already doing this. They're telling you how much you're going to have to pay in penalties if you didn't have qualifying insurance or if you.
Well, it's going to cost you money because the people are realizing now that this whole thing, when it goes into effect, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot of money. Okay. And once they realize it's going to cost you a lot of money, they're going to say no, and consequently, it's going to go away.
Well, you have a choice of either you get insurance or your company provides insurance if you're lucky enough to have a company that will do it. But as one company pointed out, the law says that you have to have insurance. They don't say that we have to provide it for you. So if you if you ever price insurance for yourself, it's $200 to $300 a month. So like they said about was it Massachusetts that already has mandated insurance? One of the in-states, that they're saying that it's cheaper to pay the penalty than it is to have the insurance. Well, still, you pay the penalty $600-$700 a year or on Obamacare. The maximum is $2,100, and you still don't have insurance. But the point is being is that, especially in this economy, even like Cliff and I were talking off the air in Eugene where they wanted to do this $120 a year service fee increase. Cliff, you still got that article in front of you?
Where is it? Let's see.
They listed about everything they're going to cut. People are screaming because where the median income here in Eugene is less than $50,000 a year, $120 is a lot of money.
Well, the things they're going to cut are they're going to close two libraries, two branch libraries entirely. The main branch library, the main downtown library, they're going to shut one day a week. Now, that's sort of ridiculous. To shut down the library one day a week, well, let's don't do that. Let's just cut back on the hours on all the days to make up that one day a week. As far as closing two branch libraries and the Sheldon Pool, we don't have to close things, folks. We can cut back on a little bit here, on a little bit there, on all of them, and do it anyway. And they're also going to, it says, eliminating a fire engine crew at the Whitaker Fire Extinction. Well, there are ways around that one, too. Ending the teen court diversion program. Now, I'm not sure if that's enough of a benefit to worry about it. Trimming the social services, police investigation, parks maintenance, as well as recreation and human rights neighborhood group support and sustainability programs. Well, trimming them, that's in my opinion, that's okay. As long as we don't just end them, which is what they do on a lot of things. But then, and so that's the kind of thing that they're going to do to pay this $120 service fee that they're going to give to any voter, all voters, which effectively affect all of us, because even if you're renting, chances are when the owner of the building, their taxes go up by $120, so they're going to do something to pass that along.
Okay. And in all those cuts that they wanted to list, did they mention how much the city is in debt for, how much their shortfall is?
Oh, the city itself, the shortfall is $5.3 million.
Okay, $5.3 million. Let's look at this for a second here. There's a project that the city council approved about a month or two ago. It's a skateboard park, which is going to cost about $2 million by the time they get through doing renovations or whatever, and they are still looking for ways to run that. The city of Eugene is also thinking about redoing one of the main streets, and they're considering putting in two roundabouts, which in my opinion, roundabouts, unless they're large like in London, never work. So right there is probably enough money to take care of their deficit.
Well, I don't believe they should stop doing any of those things. For example, the skate park. Let's do it. Let's build it. But let's charge for it. Let's make it pay for itself. There's no reason people should get all these things for free, and the government shouldn't be building them for free. But if the people really want that, then let them donate to it and let them pay for it.
Thank you. That is my point. Because, again, it should not be – I mean, you can rent – land from the city. The private groups can rent land from the city and charge for using it. Okay, great. I'll go along with that. But when you're looking at, you know, like cutting fire and police and other services, because you don't have enough money on the left side, but you got enough money on the right side with these types of programs.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with the federal government. Same, you know, the sequential thing about a lot of the services they're cutting. Where on the other side of the coin, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we could probably cut and nobody miss.
Well, the thing is, the sequester you were talking about, I'm glad they did that. You know, a lot of people are very upset that they did that, but that was done by Democrats and Republicans alike, and it was done without consideration of who benefited and who didn't benefit. Everybody got cut a certain amount. Equally, and it was across the board. Everything got cut. Now there are certain things that they've decided that don't qualify for the cuts, and so they could fix them. But there's things that did qualify, and so consequently, again, if they took a little here from a little there, did the same amount of cutting, but made it more flexible as to where they took it from, it would not even. I don't really think. Personally, I don't think it's enough to bother anybody. I mean, it's not a huge amount of money as far as when you look at it as a percentage of everything overall. It, to some programs, can mean a lot of money, but it's still a percentage. And so there, I think any budget can be cut a certain percentage, you know, and get away with it. And this, I don't think, is big enough percentage to be a problem. So if they just sit back and look at where they can save money. And every program, I think, could save money, because every program we have, especially if it's a government program, they can save money somewhere.
And if things were prosperous, they could also donate to our account and help us save money.
Okay. That's an interesting thought. I don't think that's going to happen in anywhere in near future or distant future or any future.
I know. We get offers all the time that if we fly to this email in South Korea that they'll put millions of dollars in our bank account.
Well, that takes me to the one they've got. They keep going around with these things. This guy came into a hardware store and said that the best thing to happen in years is this program that they've heard about online, Seek Rewards. For a small investment, this lady could make a fortune. This man invested his money, so he had his grandsons, and there were more and more people that listened, that were investing into it, doctors and lawyers. But basically, it was another one of these little stories. They go along for quite a while, and people can invest, and people make money on it, because they use the money from some person B investing to pay person A, and they do this until they get caught at it. And after a while, they're going to get caught at it. And this one was another one. These people were duped, and this is a $600 million Ponzi scheme. Another one, one of the biggest in the United States, and had attracted a million investors, including nearly 50,000 of them in North Carolina. And they're recruited by friends and family living in Lexington and so on and so forth. But I can't believe this is in the news again, that it's been going on. A million people were duped into this thing and lost their money. Now, the thing that gets to me is, if you're in on it in the beginning and you put some money into it and you get some money back, take the money back. Don't leave it in there. But everybody just leaves it in there thinking, oh, boy, I can get more money and more money. You can't get something for nothing. It just doesn't happen. And I don't care how good it is or how bad it is or who it is or who you think it is. It's not going to happen. You're going to lose. And people are still doing it, though. People are still, wow. I just can't believe people are that gullible in this day and age. As many times as you've read or heard or saw people getting duped into these things, to still go ahead with multi-level of marketing.
Well, the one I liked, and it was where a guy put an ad in one of those trade magazines, says, send me a dollar and I'll tell you how to make money. And you send him a dollar, and he writes back and says, put an ad in the magazine asking people to send you a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. And that happened many times until that was made against the law, too.
That's true. Speaking of...
In fact, there was a radio announcer, one of the first ones before that was, and he just said, send me a dollar.
So how did that work for you?
I thought about it many times, but it had already been tried and I'd have been made against the law.
Well,
so,
speaking of, let's see what the caller has to say about it. Welcome to the program, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about your show with, like, the stuff that people aren't believing. That, like, it's, like, really bad. It's pretty unacceptable, if you ask me.
Which stuff is that?
Well, they're just not looking at how the money works. Like, where the money gets it from the banks.
Oh, you mean like the fact that it all starts with us? And
yeah, like, people, like, they're not looking at that. We're just in a major big debt.
Well, and that's kind of the... kind of an argument, a good argument, actually, because like state federal governments, for example, they get the only way they get their money is from us, and they don't have to earn it. They don't have to make a profit, you know, like you and I did. And they think that we must have an unlimited source of money. I mean, like, I can't go to my credit card company and say that, I want to make a large purchase, and would you please raise my credit limit because I want to do this? They just won't do it. But the government can.
Yeah,
that's
I totally
the government.
Agree with you, man. It's just
again?
Wrong is what it is. I mean, honestly, it's just really wrong.
Well, yeah, I agree, and again, how privileged, like Seth and I were just talking about, how privileged we are with the money. There's times that, well, if you got $10 in your pocket and you don't make much money, are you going to go out and say, order on a thing you don't really need and buy it on the test? Okay, we lost our caller, but yeah, but no, I agree with the caller. It is wrong, about, you know, what they do with the money, really.
Well, the idea of how they can raise money just by simply, they can make it mandatory that we pay the taxes, and we've said send them money, and we can't do that, so. We hire by election the people to do this sort of thing, and somehow or another we seem to be hiring the wrong people.
Well, look how we hire the people. We unless you got a lot of money, it you know, I'll read my mind. Good. There are some really good people out there that just don't have the funds or the whereabouts to raise the funds to get the word out so you know about them, to vote for them, to put them in office. And then there's no checks and balances once they are in office, or at least not on the big scale, federal.
Yeah. This business of how to elect people, how to pay for the elections, I've been working on that one in for a long time and haven't come up with a good way of doing that. I've come up with a couple of ideas, but they all I don't think the public is going to go for them.
Well,
and so
I'm sorry, but like when you were in terrestrial radio, what was it called? If one politician came on, you had to get equal airtime.
Well, equal time, yeah.
Yeah, so if you have 30 politicians trying to run, don't you have to give equal time to each one of them?
You do, and I wouldn't have a problem with that in any radio station I was running, because that's if you actually had 30 people running for an office, that means that there's quite a bit of interest in what's going on, and people would want to listen to that. So that's not a bad thing, really, assuming that each of those people. Of course, you would probably not give the people, in other words, I wouldn't give them half an hour to talk about themselves and about things. You'd probably limit them a little bit more to how many people were interested.
Right.
And oftentimes you can offer the time to people, and they don't want it. They don't want to say anything, which is not to their benefit. That's to their bad, because you can't get people to remember you if you don't tell them who you are.
Well, that's very true, and also I think on the same point, like in our last presidential election, we had a few people that were running that it seemed like the media had already picked who the runners are going to be, and some of the, correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the candidates weren't even invited to the conventions.
Okay, I don't quite understand that.
Well, the point is that, you know, we had five or six in the major lineups on the Republican side. But, you know, the ones that the media talked about was Romney and
I understand that it ahead of the game, see, because and it was a matter of name recognition as much as anything else, and as a matter of how much they spent and how much money they spent to get that name recognition. And that's the whole thing, is name recognition, wherever you're running. So you've got to get enough information out there. And Romney had the money. He had the backing to do that sort of thing, and he just kept doing it. And it helped for the fact that he had run twice before.
Right.
And so third time around, this was about time that he got the recognition that he deserved. I believe he ran that election right into the ground. I mean, he actually should have won that election entirely, should have won that election, but he blew it totally. He didn't run it properly, and he didn't once he got the name recognition, he didn't know what to do with it. And he didn't do it right, and he lost it. That's simply all there was to it. It had been better if he had stepped down and let the next person in line continue on, because I think the next person in line could have actually won the election.
Well, yeah, and that's not my point. I mean, yeah, Romney had the wherewithal and the means to do it, but the point is that there are some people out there that would make really great leaders, you know, president or local or whatever, but they're not wealthy.
Well, that's true, and there should be a way to do that we can allow everyone to run that wants to, but that means a complete revamping of our elections type system, and I haven't come up with the answer to that yet, and it's obviously neither has anyone else, at least not to anybody's satisfaction.
Yeah, I don't know either. Of course, they could kind of utilize this fad known as the internet a little bit more, but then again, even on the internet, you got to somehow get noticed.
Well, that's the thing, and it's even harder on the internet to get noticed than it is anywhere else. You can put something on the internet and have everybody in the world ignore you, I don't know how you can put it on the internet. You know, you can throw more money at a website and make the world's nicest website and the world's neatest website and still not get much recognition. Whereas if you have put a few thousand dollars into television ads and radio ads, you get significantly more recognition than you would with. Of course, you can use what they call direct advertising on the internet and advertise on everybody else's website. That's where you can really spend the money, and then you could probably get recognized.
There you go. So I'll get a hold of our advertising department, and we'll see if we can increase our numbers.
Right, right. We'll be more than happy to put anybody on. Just for we're reasonably cheap.
We are. And I tease, but we actually do have an audience, and most of them is on the archives. But we got $2,000 to $3,000 listeners per week.
I wish it was $2,000 or $3,000 a week.
And we do appreciate that, although we tease about it, but we do appreciate that. Anyway, 646-721-9887. The lines, all 15 of them, are open right now. And we have 14 minutes remaining in the program for anything we've talked about, anything you want to talk about, anything you don't want to talk about, but we'll talk about anyways. Give us a call, 646-721-9887.
Well, we got a big, big scandal of a bunch of teachers cheating. And teachers cheating. Atlanta School is what they're picking on. They've got a bunch of teachers that were caught there, but it's been happening around the country and all, not just in one school. And whereas, see, basically, we talked about some time ago paying teachers for getting best results and to get good results with the students. And, of course, in the other way you can test students is to give them a test and find out how much they've learned. And so now what we're doing, we're giving it to the kids a test, and now we're finding out that the students are not doing well on the test because they just didn't learn anything. But the teachers are going in there and actually changing the tests. They're changing the answers on the tests. They're going into, like, one of the schools they went into. Somebody went into the classroom, and the teacher's there telling the students the answers to the test and going around to each person individually and helping them, and whether it's blatant or not blatant. But the idea is the teachers are helping the kids answer the questions, and consequently the certain schools and the certain teachers are getting good test results, and consequently are making more money, and there's a how can you stop? How can you win? What do you do to get the teachers to teach the thing and to teach the kids something here? These kids are going to school. They're coming back with great test scores because the teachers are helping them out, but the kids aren't learning anything.
Yeah.
And we've lost all the way around. And what do we do about it? I don't know how to stop it. I don't know. I mean, we can stop it in individual schools, but it's going to continue on. As long as we have the schools, anything national to do with the schools, I think we're going to have a problem. Each school is supposed to be run by the local government, the state government, and individual school administrators. And, you know, if you've got one school where the teachers are cheating and doing that sort of thing, that's one school out of a bunch of them. But when you've got schools run by the national government, when you've got the government involved in this, then you've got big, big, big problems. And we've got big problems. Of course, in this particular school, they've got they've fined them $1 million when they found this out. They've got a bond set up for $200,000, and they're still waiting for the answer to whether they're guilty or not. But it's obvious what's happened here. And how are we going to make sure that our kids get the education and the educators are rewarded for what they're doing if they're doing it properly? And how are we supposed to find out if they're not doing it properly? 82 of these teachers confess to what they're doing. It's the biggest.
And we here at KRBN Internet News Talk Radio sent our staff to investigate this rumor and found one of the PSAT tests that these teachers are using as an example, and was shocked to find out that what they were doing, like here's one of the questions that is actually on the test. It says, saw the problem and decided the best choice given and fill in the corresponding awful sheet. The question is, if y equals, in parentheses, x plus 3 squared, then minus 2x minus 6 squared must equal to which of the following? And your choices are A. That's it.
That wasn't a misprint?
No, that's your choice, A.
Okay.
Well, if you fail that one, you are really bad.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, again, I don't know how they could get away with something like that. That'd be obvious if you saw the test that, you know, that's an obvious possibility. But this is a legitimate thing that they've got lots and lots of people that are getting in trouble. Like I say, 82 people have actually admitted to it. And state found the teachers and principals in 44 schools were erasing and actually changing the test answers in 44 schools. Now, again, we're not picking the right people somewhere or another and somehow or another.
Well, maybe it's a criteria like I'll. Well, I hate talking about education because I have such a pleasant experience, but when I went to community college, I noticed that based on if it's a two-credit class, one-credit class, or four-credit class, which I think 4 credits was the max, is that it seemed like in the 1 and 2-credit courses, there was a lot more homework and stuff to do than there was in the 4-credit classes. And I asked one of the teachers that I got to know pretty well, and I says, why is this? And he said, well, that's because it depends on your tenure and seniority. The people with tenure get the 4-credit classes, which means they get paid more for doing it. What we try to do is on the 1 and 2-credit classes is we overload the students, hoping that they will complain and try to make it a 3-credit class, because that way then we get paid more for doing it.
That's it. Everybody has a little out like that. Everybody has a little game like that they can play in order to make more money. When you start talking about colleges and junior colleges, that's when you raise my hackles, because I believe they're all a big game and they're all a big farce, because there's no possible reason that even Yale, let's take Yale for example, everything in Yale, they've got millions and millions of dollars coming in donations from people who went to the school. They got millions of dollars coming in. Everything is paid for. There's no reason they should charge any tuition at all. And yet they do start charge huge tuitions. So we've got too many instructors or professors or whatever you want to call them making too much money and trying to work less hours and trying to figure out ways to defraud the students in order for them to work less time. And we've got to find a different way. We've got the morals of our community, entire community, have got to be changed. We've got to start getting back to the real good, the old days when you actually did, if you're an instructor, you were actually out there to instruct the students. You actually helped the kids there. You weren't there to just make money. We've lost that.
Yeah, and speaking of, I have two suggestions. Number one, and again, this is based on my own experience, some of the textbooks that we had to buy $100, $120 per book were co-written by the instructor, which I think that should be illegal. And secondly, if it was any other type of business, you know, when you go in to, I'm going to use my own experiences, the syllabus says that by the end of this course, you will be able to perform the following. So you're in a sense taking on a contract because you're hiring the college to perform this service for you. Now, I'm not saying every student will be able to actually do that, but, you know, pretty much, that's the idea. You're going in, say, like I went in for computers to learn this knowledge, you should be, when you graduate, you should have been given the tools so, you know, for the most part, you come out with what you went, what you paid for. There is no checks and balances to make sure that you are getting the best value for your money.
That's true. And first of all, they, you know, like you said, you really can't make that guarantee. And so the schools shouldn't make that guarantee. So they should find another way to word that and to work that. And if you have to, keep the kids there, keep the students there until they do pass that test. And there's no reason, like I say, to charge the kind of money that they charge, because they're charging big money for community colleges. Those are supposed to be there for people who can't afford anything else, and yet now it's getting to the point that you can't afford a school. You can't afford to go to school. There are people who leave colleges owing $100,000. That's before they even get a job. Now, how do you go out and raise $100,000 to pay for that? And they only give you a certain amount of time to pay for it. And, of course, a lot of people are taking a lot more than that time, and that's costing you even more money. This whole system needs to be changed, and we need to take an idea or change our ideas of how we educate our students. And perhaps we should forget this idea. Of course, see, it's hard to change this whole system when you've got, let's say, you have a widget store, and you need to hire 10 widget people to fix your widgets or build your widgets or whatever you want to do. And you go out and you put an ad in the paper. You've got 100 people that apply for this widget position, and 40 of these people are college grads, the others aren't. Well, first you immediately get rid of the non-college grads, figuring that the college grads have the best education. And it's hard to say you shouldn't have to go to college and not bother to get that education if you're going to be put out in the cold immediately. And there's too many people for too few jobs at the moment. So it's a real hard thing to try to do.
Well, let me jump in here real quick, because we're running against the clock. Because I want to also say, too, that you go out and, say, get a four-year degree and spend $50,000 to do it, and you see ads in here that are requiring a bachelor's degree that pay $12 to $15 an hour. If they're expecting, because you've made that big investment, that you're going to be paying for about as long as you would half a house, you know, 15, 20 years maybe, on a loan to get a $15 an hour job.
Yeah. See, that's the sad part of the whole thing is, and right now, a $15 job is very good to get.
Right, and it's an entry level position. You're expecting to get trained and be able to you know, start more up the ladder than, like for example, a nationwide talk show host was talking about one of his interns who said that his intern has a bachelor's degree, and the only thing that earned him was the privilege to get him coffee.
Yeah, really, and that's sad. That's really, really sad, because that's, like I say, we've got too many people for too few positions. We've got too many people out of work right at the moment to be able to make any of this logic. And we've got to do something about making the education mean more.
That's right. And we're out of time, and it was fun again. We appreciate the caller that called in, and everybody that listens to us on the archives. We really do appreciate that. Again, you can always share your thoughts by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, or join us again next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, right here on this very internet.
Bye now.
Bye.
To check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com, or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.